Today's share in Mishnah Brura Yomi is Daf Samach Ches Omud Aleph, and we're in the middle of Simen Lamed Tes. We're actually beginning with the last words on Samach Zayin Omud Beis Seif Gimel. And the Mechaber is teaching us, again, which individuals are permitted to go and write Sifrei Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzos. And he writes Ger, which the Chofetz Chaim in the Bir Halacha writes is talking about, obviously, a Ger Tzedek, a righteous convert, now unfortunately is being persecuted, and Ger Shechazar Lidaso Machmas Yira. If unfortunately the Ger, who was a righteous convert, is now returning to his old religion because of persecution, because of Yira, he's afraid, Kosher Lichtov Tfilin, he technically is still permissible to write Tfilin. Why is this so? So the Mishnah Berurah writes in Sivkot Yud Aleph, Shelo Yagu, he's afraid they're going to kill him. That's the only reason he's reverting, quote, back to his old religion. Af Debe'emes Hoyalo Limso Navsho Al Amunas Hashem. The halacha is, unfortunately, that a person has to even be willing to give up their life in order not to revert back to being an Oved Avodah Zorah. If a person wasn't able to withstand this extremely difficult test, so he doesn't lose his status as a Yisrael because of that, because he's under persecution, he's under circumstances that are extenuating. Then the Mishnah Berurah brings down Ayin and the Mogen Avraham, Shehela, the Mogen Avraham writes, the Ein Lahakel Bezeh. No, one should not allow such a person to write Stam. And this is true if he's somewhat like a Morano, the Jewish people that were forced to convert to Christianity and really tried to keep all the Torah mitzvos in private. So that person, he says as well, should not write a Sefer Torah, Tefillin, or Mezuzos. So even though this person is just not publicly putting on the Tefillin, he's trying to do them as best as he can in private. The bottom line is, he is not putting on Tefillin, so therefore he's not included in the Din of Shira, and therefore can't be included in the Din of Ksiva. That is the opinion of the Magen Avraham. And certainly, he adds, and certainly if he's not performing any of the mitzvos, he's not permitted to write Tefillin. He does seem to accept, however, this would not be the case if he's terrified that they're going to kill him, even if they were to find him doing any of the mitzvos in private, so then the person wouldn't lose his status. Furthermore, the Mishnah Berurah says, "Ayin in the Bir Hagra Shemaskin Gan Kein LaMogen Avraham." The Vilna Gaon agrees with this pshat of the Mogen Avraham. Furthermore, the Mishnah Berurah writes, "Od Kasev Mogen Avraham B'Shem Darki Moshe." The Mogen Avraham writes in the name of Darki Moshe. Darki Moshe is the Ramah. The Af B'Sefer Torah, even in regards to a Sefer Torah, Mamzer V'Ger Toshav, a Mamzer, a person who was unfortunately born of an illegitimate marriage that involved an Ashes Ish, or other situations of incest, Rachmona Litzlan, or a Ger Toshav, which is a person, the Mishnah Berurah says, Hainu Shekibel Lo Shevim Mitzvah Noach, he's a regular non-Jewish person, but he's accepted upon himself the yoke of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to fulfill the seven mitzvahs of the Bnei Noach. These people as well are Psulim Lichtov, are not allowed to go and write a Sefer Torah, Shekosim Yerodeya, as it's written in Yerodeya. However, that's a Sefer Torah. He says, however, for Tefillin and Mezuzos, one doesn't have to be concerned about this. The Mishnah Berurah, however, comments, however, the opinion of the Achronim is that one should not allow a Ger Toshev to write Sefer Torah, Tefillin, or Mezuzos, because they're not included in Kshira. He tells you to look in the Bir Halacha. The Bir Halacha, he has an interesting discussion as to why one might think that a Ger Toshev should be allowed to write, maybe because he accepted upon himself, in addition to the Zayin Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, he also accepted upon himself the Mitzvah of Tefillin, but ultimately, the Chofetz Chaim concludes that this reasoning is not correct, and Ayin Sham if you want to see all the details. In the issue footnote number 23, he brings down an interesting question that's based upon this machlokis. He says, is a mamzer allowed to be the shliach tzibur? So he brings down the name of the Shiori Knesset HaGdola, that's totally on our machlokis over here. If you hold that the mamzer is kosher to write tefillin, which is the opinion of the Magen Avraham that we just brought down, so then he could be the shliach tzibur. However, the Birkei Yosef says, if you hold that he's not allowed to write tefillin, as the majority opinion that we just brought down from the Achronim, so then certainly he shouldn't be able to be chazan for the tzibur. Now we go to Sif Dalad. The Mechaber writes, Tefillin shekisovim apikoris yisorafu v'yeshomim yigonzu. If an apikoris, who we'll define in a second, wrote tefillin, so they have to be burnt according to the first opinion that the Mechaber brings down, and then he brings down the yeshomim in the name of the Tur and the Rabbeinu Yerucham, that they just have to be hidden away, they don't have to be destroyed. In the Bir Halacha, Shekasovim Apikoris, the Chafetz Chaim writes, an Apikoris is somebody who is Oduk Liavodis Kochovim. He is attached closely to Avodis Kochovim, as is defined in the Beis Yosef, the name of Rashi, and the Kesef Mishnah, and the name of the Rambam. And this is further discussed in the Bir Halacha, and that's what Sivkot and Yud Beis, the Mishnah Berurah, tells you to go look in this Bir Halacha that I just explained. In Sivkot and Yud Gimel, he explains Yisrufu, that you burn it, Im Askarosein. You don't have to cut out the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and save those, but you even burn it with the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Yud Kei Vav Kei that's written in the Tefillin. It's brought down in Simen Shin Lamed Dalet. The Stomo Kishikosi, because the Apikoros Stam, when he wrote it, was writing it the Shema Vodas Gilul Mukosiv. When he writes the Yud Kei Vav Kei, he has some other deity with a small d in mind, and not HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Borei Olam. In Sivkot Yudalad, though, the Mishnah Berurah explains the alternate opinion that the Mechaber brought down, that you can just hide it away, Yigunzu, the Ein Derech Apikoris Loniach Tfilin, because the Mishnah Berurah says that an Apikoris doesn't put on Tfilin. So why did he write this pair of Tfilin? Bivadei Kesovu Limkor LiYisrael. He certainly wrote it to sell it to a Jewish person. The Efshar Shalo Kesovu L'Shem Avodas Gilulim. Therefore, he wouldn't have any necessarily reason to have in mind when he writes the Yud Kei Vav Kei an alternate Kavona. The Dasa Mechaber, how did the Mechaber Paskin? He brought down both opinions. Since he brought the first opinion down, Stam, Livso Kedea Rishona, Lachain Kisovu Bistomba. So that's why he wrote, that's the Halacha. And then he brings a Yesh Omim. And this is the opinion of the Taz, the Prish, the Grua, as well. In the Bir Halacha, the Chafetz Chaim brings down, what about a person who in other situations is vernacularly called an Apikoris, such as a Yehudi, She'eno Manmin, Ledivrei Rabbeinu, who just doesn't follow the words of the rabbis. Can such a person's tefillin require being burnt, or are they hidden away? So the Mishnah Berurah, the Chafetz Chaim, writes in the Bir Halacha here, Linyan Dina, in regards to the din with this type of a person writing tefillin, he says, Nearly Pashut Etzorach Lignos Parshiosov. You have to hide away his parshios. They can't be good, because they may not have been properly made for the parchment, the parshios, or the askaros, and not done lishma, all sorts of other problems. Maybe he wasn't careful in all of the dinim that we learned, such as chak tochos, etc. All the letters weren't written properly, and he's not a mamin in the Divrei Chazal, so he's definitely choshud l'chashel acherim. He's going to not sell, care that he's selling non-kosher, non-really, not good pair of tefillin. However, since it's possible that if somebody did stand over his shoulders and watched him, it might be good. So therefore, he says, I wouldn't burn them, I would just hide them away. I wouldn't use them, he says, L'chora yesh lavi raya lahatir. One would need to bring a raya that they could be used, actually. Sif hei. The Mechaber writes, Nimtzu biyad apikoris. If you find a pair of tefillin in the hands of an apikoris, then yodua mikasovim. We don't know that the apikoris writ them. The apikoris has it. Yigunzu. In that situation, you're gonez it, you hide it away, you don't have to burn it. The Mishnah Berurah in Sivkot and Tesvav explains, here, misofek, we're not sure. Shema hu ksovim. If the Apikoros wrote it, so then we paskin that you have to burn it. However, avol ein lesof misofek, but we don't burn something out of a sofek, because the pasuk says, halo ksiv, lo sasun ken l'shem lokechem. We don't do this in this situation for a sofek, and therefore you are gonez it, you hide it away, until we can find out its true writer. Sivvav. Nimtzu biyad eino Yehudi. If you find a pair of tefillin in the hands of a non-Jewish person, then you do mikasavim. And you likewise here do not know who wrote this. So then here, kisherim. We don't have to hide it away. We don't have to burn it, certainly. You can actually wear it. It is kosher. Mishnah Berurah in Sivkot and Tezayin explains, because this stam of the gilulim ain bekin lichtov. The average, vast majority of non-Jewish people are not knowledgeable enough to go and write tefillin. And the overwhelming likelihood is that it was written by a Jewish person. And therefore, it is kosher. In Dirshu footnote 26, he brings down in the name of the Ksav Sofer that you can may certainly even make a bracha on such a pair of tefillin. The Mishnah Berurah then continues and says, and especially nowadays in our communities, Shiyadua, it's certain, she'ain einam Yehudim Yodim Lechtov, the vast majority of the non-Jewish population wasn't even literate, and certainly wasn't literate to write Hebrew. Afilu b'sefer Torah, shenimtza b'yodon. Even if you were to find a sefer Torah in the hands, masik ashach, the shach brings down, this is in Yoridei actually, the lekul yamuk sherit, that it would be perfectly good. And in Nebuch, there are many situations with this where the sefer Torah was found in the hands of the goyim after the Holocaust, and those sefer Torah are perfectly kosher. Once they're checked to make sure that they're kosher, they have a cheskes kashus upon them, the tolino and the ha'inam yehudim bazuzu osa, because it's almost with certainty that the non-Jewish person took it as spoils of war, took it as booty, and Hashem Yimkom Domam for the people that they took it from. So the halacha is, therefore, that when you do find a Sefer Torah in the hands of a non-Jewish person, and certainly if that non-Jewish person is done a chesed by saving that Sefer Torah from the hands of other persecutors, so therefore that Sefer Torah has the status of a chesed kashrus on it. You have to check it to make sure that it's remaining kosher, but it is able to be used. Siv Zayin. Ein lochin tefillin u'mezuzos u'sfarim in akusim. One is not allowed to go and purchase tefillin, mezuzos, or any sfarim from a kusi. Yoser mikidei demeyen harbe. If you have to go and purchase them, the kusi said, I'm going to destroy this unless you buy it from me, or he's just going to get rid of it in some disparaging way. He'll use it for a rachmana litzlan, a non-holy purpose. We have, unfortunately, many tragic stories from the Holocaust where pages from Svarim and from Sifrei Torah, rachmana litzlan, were used as toilet paper, were used in all sorts of disgusting ways by Yimach Shemon Mezichrom, the Nazis. So here we have a situation where the kusi has these holy works, these svarim or tefillin or mezuzos in his possession, and he's willing to sell them to you, but he's asking for an exorbitant price. So the Mechaber tells us you're not allowed to go and pay an exorbitant price from the kusi. We'll define exorbitant in a moment. Why? Because this will unfortunately encourage them to do this again. If they steal a yid's pair of tefillin and they get a windfall from it, so the next thing they can do is steal five pairs of tefillin. And therefore, in order to make sure that we do not incentivize them in any way to go and take svarim, tefillin, and mezuzos from Jewish people, so we only are allowed to pay a reasonable amount to go and acquire them back. The Mishnah Berurah in Sivkot Yud Zayin explains what is a reasonable amount. Avo b'ma'at yoser mishovyon, for a little bit more than their value. The Mishnah Berurah says, "Dahainu ad kedei chatzi dinar betfilin." He says you could play an additional chatzi dinar. This is based upon a Tosfos. Obviously, he's talking about the coinage of their time. Ulufi erech zeh b'sefer Torah, and proportionately, you can pay that amount by sefer Torah. So obviously, he's not telling us how many dollars you're allowed to go and pay today for a pair of tefillin, but you look at the market value and you pay even slightly more, but slightly more than the market value. Chayovim liknos mehen, because they're going to dispose of them in a disparaging way, so then you are obligated to go and try to purchase it from them at a slightly above market value. And even though if you're not going to get any benefit when you purchase the Sefer Torah from them, because according to the opinion that he brings down here from Yoridea, that you'd have to be gone such a Sefer Torah, even so, you're not going to really benefit from the Sefer Torah, but you have to take it off their hands. And even for a little bit more than market value, in order to hide it away, in order that it shouldn't be mezaldul, to prevent them from then using it rachmona litzlan as toilet paper or to use it in other disparaging ways. And certainly, even if the apostle on their own merit, the Sefer Torah is no longer a kosher Sefer Torah. Nevertheless, gam kein chayovim liknos me'ov de gilulim kidei ligonzen. You still have an obligation to purchase it. Again, we're not intending to use it necessarily. It's to prevent it from being treated in a disparaging, disgusting fashion. However, avo bechsovon apikoris, if this is an apikoris' sefer, the tu'unin sreifa, which is going to have to be burnt, then ain't tzarech likach mehem, then you don't have an obligation to go and buy it from them. Sivkot and Yudches, the Mishnah Berurah writes, harbe, you have to pay a large amount. Va'afal pikin lo yisalek atzmo yisrael, tekef imenu af sha'omer harbe. If the non-Jewish person who has the tefillin says, I want $1 million for them, don't just walk away and say, that's ridiculous, I'm not doing it. U'mechuyiv la'asok ito pen yishvimo. You have to try to reason with him and see if it can come to an acceptable halachic accommodation. So he started off saying $1 million, but he'll take $500 for it, so then you mechuyiv to go and take it from him. And in the situation where the guy says, no, I am demanding $1 million or some unreasonable amount of money, then you're allowed to go and leave it in his hands. You're not mechuyiv to go pay an outrageous price. Furthermore, don't start off when he asks for $1 million, say, I'll give you $5 for it, because Dilma Yirgaz over Galun, he's going to get very upset and mad at you. And he says, it's only worth $5 and I'm throwing it away, and I'm going to treat it in an even worse fashion. So therefore, you have to be intelligent and smart how to work out a way to make this a reasonable transaction that we'll go through. In Dershu footnote 27, he brings down a number of interesting scenarios. What about, he asks, if a guy were to ask, can he purchase a mezuzah? Many goyim are in the impression that having a mezuzah on the door is a good luck charm, and therefore they want to have one also. So the Ramah brings down in Yoridea, also, you're not allowed to sell it to a nochri to put up in his door because he wants a good luck charm. However, avolim yesh lachush mishum eva mutter. However, if this is going to lead to problems, you're going to get sued, you're going to go and have a pogrom, you're going to have all sorts of problems then because of this eva, this hatred that it would engender, it might be permissible. Next question he brings down, can you sell a Sefer Torah to a secular court, a non-Jewish secular court, so when they go and ask Jewish litigants to swear on a Bible, they're swearing on a Sefer Torah. So the Maritz Chias was asked this question, and he writes, Kivin she'enu konim osam k'dei lumo behem. They're not purchasing the Sefer Torah to use, however, they're only using it for Jews. Gam shayach behem heter mishum eva. In a situation where it would lead to hatred if you didn't sell it to them, so then mutu l'mochu lehem, you would be permitted to go sell it to them. And the third and final question that he brings down is legabi mechira sefer Torah lebeis knesses shall conservate him. If a person is a sofer and a conservative shul asks, can they purchase a sefer Torah from him? So even though they're not shomer Torah mitzvos, abul heim mechadim es a sefer Torah. The Korimbo, they're certainly going to treat the Sefer Torah with tremendous respect, and they're going to even read from it. So Rav Moshe Feinstein in a classical tshuva writes, Ein b'kach yisabatsim. You have absolutely no halachic reason why you can't sell it to them. However, he does suggest you should only sell them a new Sefer Torah, because if you sell them a new Sefer Torah, it's never been used before, it won't have a degradation in its Kedusha by going to a non-halachic minyan. However, if it's a Sefer Torah that's already been used, this would be a Yerida in the Kedusha. Now it's being used by people that unfortunately, maybe through no fault of their own, just aren't following and understand the importance of a true minyan and tefillah. So therefore, the Sefer Torah would be degraded in this fashion. He says it would be better to sell them a brand new Sefer Torah rather than a previously used Sefer Torah. The Halacha Brura adds one or two additional points as well. He says that a Morano, a Jewish person that was forced to convert, kosher lichtov Sefer Torah tefillin and mezuzos. Brings us down to the name of the Olas Tomit and the Kol Yaakov. He also passes that a mamzer is permitted to go write tefillin and mezuzos, lechatchila even. The Halacha Brura is very strong in not allowing a Sefer Torah to be sold to a Reformed or Conservative congregation, and he says that they're going to do various actions that are a bizayin to the Sefer Torah, and he says you can't even sell them a Sefer Torah that is posel. He does bring down opinions, however, that say you could sell them a posel Sefer Torah. One of the arguments that you shouldn't sell them a regular Sefer Torah because this is as if you're putting it in a Geniza because it's not being used properly. So he says the posel Sefer Torah has to be in a Geniza anyway, and therefore that might be permissible. One can certainly rely upon the opinion of Rav Moshe, however, as we did bring down, and if this situation does come up, certainly a great Godel needs to be asked this question, how to pasken this halacha l'maisa. This concludes today's shir.